we can do together a very developed country for energy and environment. And future cooperation of developed country and energy and environment sector. And this is the overview of energy and environment sectors in Myanmar. One is hydropower. In the year 2010, the installed capacity is 2050.04 megawatt and generation is 5811.07 gigawatt hour. And economically viable hydropower sites are 268 sites. And economically viable hydropower potential is 39720 megawatt. And major electricity generation plants in Myanmar is hydropower plant, gas turbine plant, and steam turbine plant. Up to now, installed electricity generation plants up to the year 2009, today installed power is 2,255.8 megawatt. And up to February 2012, the installed power is 3,356 megawatt. In oil and gas sector, our inland crude oil production is 9,300 barrels per day, and inland natural gas production is 100 million cubic feet per day. Among them, Yadana and Yadagon offshore sites can produce over 1,000 million cubic feet per day, mostly is for export. The major biomasses are wood fuel, lumber waste, and red tax. Other minor different types of biomass are biogas and molasses. And wood fuel. According to the Forest Resource Assessment 2010, 46.96% of the total country area is covered with forest. But in 2011, the forest area is left 24.6% only. About 76% of the population is living in rural areas, and wood fuel is the major fuel for them. Wood fuel consumption is about 19.86 million cubic tons per year. And supplying resources are natural forest, plantations, homestead gardens, community forests, stocks and logs and other agricultural residues. And lumber wood. Available per year is about 1.5 million tons. Mostly is used as firewood and charcoal. No problem. And about rice tax. It is available per year is about 4.392 million tons. In the past time, mostly was used as wider fuel. Presently, it is the most popular as a raw material for rice tax certifier. Used as fuel, sun rice tax are used for big baking furnaces. And about animal waste. The available annual waste per year is about 34.42 million tons. Biogas digesters are used for producing gas fuel, especially in rural areas. And most of the waste are used as natural fertilizer in agriculture. And for molasses, the available per year is about 0.24 million tons. And used for liquor making, leaving very little for other use. Most of the molasses is only for liquor making in Myanmar. And for solar energy, the potential available solar energy per year is around 51,973 terawatt hours. The solar energy could be utilized for solar quota, solar heating system, solar water piping, battery charging in rural areas, and solar power generation. The utilization of solar energy mostly is for lighting in rural areas. The installed capacity is for GS Cluster A is 0.33 megawatt. For 2009 is 0.35 megawatt and 2010 0.66 megawatt. For wind power, the potential available wind energy per year is around 365 terawatt hour. Hilly regions of China and of Qin and Shanxi, Guse region in the south and western part, and central Myanmar are the promising areas. But wind power is very expensive energy cost. It is still in very energy stage. In Myanmar, 300 to 600 watt capacity wind generators are available in private market. Mostly is imported from China. And the installed wind power plants for the year 2008 is 0.05 megawatt, 2009 0.05 megawatt, and 2010 0.06 megawatt. And a project of 1,000 megawatt wind power plant will be implemented in 2018. MOU is already signed. And geothermal energy. There are 93 geothermal locations in Myanmar. Some of them were investigated, but no commercial production was there now. Bioethanol. Sugarcane-based ethanol is available in Myanmar. Today, installed capacity was 2.3 million gallons per year. The market was not developed and popular yet. Production of gasohol will reside in conflict with the government policy that prospect is green. Ocean power. Myanmar coastal line is about 2,800 kilometers and existing good potential of ocean power, but it's not available yet due to the lack of technologies and infrastructures in Myanmar. And municipal waste energy and landfill gas. As for Yangon City, the municipal waste is about 2,010 per day. And the energy is not also available yet due to the lack of technology. Two, energy and environmental policy. Energy policy framework in Myanmar is to maintain the status of energy independence and to promote wider use of new and renewable energy resources and to promote energy efficiency and conservation, to promote use of alternative fuels in households. Myanmar National Environment Policy. The National Commission for Environmental Affairs, NCEA, was established in 1990. Myanmar National Environment Policy was promulgated in 1994 December to conserve the environment and prevent its degradation in the utilization of water, land, forest, mineral, marine resources, and other natural resources. Myanmar Forest Policy has been developed in 1995. It comprises six policies imperative. They are protection, sustainability, basic needs, efficiency, public awareness, and public participation. 3. Energy and environment sector development plan and strategy. In Myanmar, CNG and NGC programs were initiated in Myanmar since 1986. As at March 2009, more than 35,000 NGCs were completed from both petrol and or diesel cars. CNG refueling stations will be installed along the existing domestic pipeline corridor. Unfortunately, the project of converting to NGB was postponed presently due to the lack of natural gas supply. And Ministry of Enrollment and Quality was formed in 2011. And Myanmar will reduce the production step by step in short period of time frame. The production will be done only for the sufficient of inland demand. If putting teeth at the wall will be totally stopped within a few years. And we encourage to develop the teeth based industry for future. Government laid down the energy policy to exploit and utilize enormous hydropower potential of the country for the future energy. For management of energy and environment sector, we are achieving certain level of management on energy and environment since 1994. However, we have contacted very close. As the government was changed since 2011, the new government will carry on more effectively on the management of energy and environment sector in the coming future. Government also balancing between promoting energy and environmental issues. This human resource capital development in energy and environment sector. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry established training on global warming, environmental impacts and climate change issues as necessary. Myanmar Engineering Society, MES, is on conducting the ASEAN Energy Management Scheme, AEMA, in Myanmar as a project partner of ASEAN Center for Energy, ECE. MES established seminars frequently related on energy, renewable energy, global warming and climate change in order to disseminate the people and for public awareness. The existing problems of energy and environment sector in Myanmar. They are lack of electricity supply, especially hot and dry season. Most of the rural villages are not available of electricity as they are located in the remote area. We need more national power grid line network. We need to upgrade the power transmission line and system. Lack of awareness and interest of public on E&C matters. Low technology and financial problems are the problems of Myanmar. And lack of research centers and facilities also needed. And lessons learned from phase 1 and phase 2 projects and phase 3 conference and workshop. They are how to implement the rural village electrification project. We need to contact the development of rural villages for the following advantages. That is to avoid the mitigation problems from villages to cities and to create new business opportunities in rural areas and to increase the incomes of rural communities and to reduce poverty and to be able to enjoy their lives living in rural areas and to avoid the high population density in urban areas to solve the jobless labor problem in urban areas to lower sudden energy demand and CO2 emissions in urban areas that are along the phase 1 and phase 2 FIHR. And for a successful rural village electrification project, it should take enough time frame, such as about 2 years, for feasibility studies and studies for a village, as that is we have learned from CPA when we visited there. And to promote the utilization of energy efficiency plans, and need to develop human resources and capacity building, and also ethic and appropriate mindset. Implementing in the right way for the development, which is less potential to define the nature and environment. According to the phase 2 program, after the study visit to CPA, we gained much knowledge how to conduct village electrification projects and performance of sustainability. Opportunities and challenges. opportunities in Yamaha, new natural exploration started and ready to produce very soon. More international oil and gas operations are ready to invest in Yamaha as we have get new government since 2011. And the challenges are weakness in laws and regulations for environmental sector. Development of human capacity is very slow. Very few or no public awareness and participation in environmental sector. Weakness in research and development and need higher technology as they are needed for them. And effective future cooperation among DMS countries are technology and knowledge sharing among DMS countries on renewable energy, energy efficiency and conservation practices, and cooperation in research and development on energy sector, and cooperation in energy production on RE such as solar, wind, biomass, and geothermal, etc. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much. You may notice that Myanmar has a lot of the natural resources, but still they have lack of the electricity in the rural area. So they need some new technology, even if not developing. And now may I open the floor for questions and comments, please? Yes. May I quote this?
Yes, I have seen your figure and really shook me up, that 39,000 megawatts still available in terms of economically to have the hydropower. And that, can I ask that particular figure, that would be primarily just going to be IPP. How many megawatts that will be needed and relocated to the industrial sector, which is going to be Hawaii earlier. In Thailand here, 70 to 75% of the power will be on the industrial sector in 40,000 megawatt. About 30,000 is dedicated to the industrial sector. And in Burma, at this moment here, you are going to have the humongous industrial area, which is Hawaii. Physically would be 10 times larger than the largest industrial estate in Thailand. Can I ask you whether that power plant would come from the thermal power or hydropower, or that would be required a big transmission line from the hydropower?
Thank you, Baba Jin. And our government has too many projects on hydropower generation, and they have planned year by year, and but I have no idea and how the hydropower will be available, how much hydropower will be available when our future projects are completed. But I believe that we have so many hydropower potentials in Yamaha that not very soon in future, maybe 10 or 20 years, we will get enough electricity power from hydropower. And I have no idea how we need on electricity power for industry. I'm sorry for that.
Any more additional questions? Thank you much for your presentation. Now let me invite China to present the paper.
Thank you.
we are very honored to be come to international conference among the JMS countries. And I will show some policy in our countries for our further cooperation in the future. You know, the focus on the focus of energy sources and environment is that the energy conservation and emission reduce rely on the scientific and the technological innovation. Promoting the environmental project, meaning of the coal and the clean use of the coal, building the energy industry system, set down the electric power, building a western energy network and the energy industry system, focusing on the resource conservation and the environmental project and the sustainable development. China is one of the biggest energy production city in the world. In the past, in a long time, with our power supported by fossil energy, like the coal, oil, and natural gases. Solar energy, you can look at this picture here. It's a solar valley in Shandong province, and all the power supplied by the solar energy. And if you want to know some more details, we'd like to invite you in China and show the more details for you and seek the communication on solar energy. And public power situation, in China we have a lot of hydropower situation. Wind power, look at this picture, you can see the North West have a strong wind power, and most of the biggest wind power station were built in North West. Biomass energy and nuclear power. One of the famous nuclear power plant named Daya Bay is located in Shenzhen. We have in China, in our country, is energy consumption, one of the biggest energy consumption cities in the world, and we face a lot of problems on energy resources and environment sectors. The first is air pollution from the social energy. And second, a shortage of water. And the most important thing, I think, these problems is our country has a large amount of population, and maybe a mistake. We often say China was one of the biggest energy consumption cities. Compared with American, energy consumption per person, we will less than them. And the energy consumption. Here is our policy on energy resources and environment. Energy conservation, innovating energy science and technology, fossil energy, green products and clean realization, low carbon. I think in China, low carbon is now the most famous or popular project in China. We have a lot of technology on low carbon. they have a lot of population, and they have a lot of cars, and you know the renewable energy cars in Canada, a lot of them. And the details of our bonsai, you can see age. And if you want to know more details, you could search in line the 20th 5 years plant of China. You know the most difficult you know the what say the pollution most from the fossil energy. And in China, fossil energy green production and clean legalization is not we're just doing it and put it in 2005. Okay. You know, China's coal production accounts for 42% of the world coal production. And the amount of the coal production will increase in the next 20 years. The traditional way of the coal mining will be have destroyed the surface water system, leading to the ground, So, we must change the coal mining method and using a high rate of recovery coal mining technology to control the coal mining. You know, here's the lesson learned away from this conference, sustainable energy, human capital development, and agriculture sustainable development, and the effects of the global warming and the climate we should take to face it. You know, we just have a panel discuss on the water resource utilization this day. Okay, the challenge we will face in the future. You know, in China, the sustainable development of energy resources is very difficult. You know, we have a lot of population. You know, more population, more energy consumption. So, even though we have a lot in China, there are a lot of renewable energies, and it's very hard to sustainable. And the combined between the population and the environment, you know, as I said, have a lot of population, so maybe more pollution. You know, the further cooperation between the GMS countries, we suggest to on this point. You know, the fossil energy cannot be used, and the country power station maybe, you know, with the global warming and some climate change. Maybe water may be dry. So I said, you know, I think in my opinion, solar energy is the most main and the key energy in the future. So we want to share the technique, you know, among the GMS countries, and we have large amount of population, and you know, we need the human resource development, and resources and the development and the environment, and we suggest to establish the union of the NGO from GMS countries, and you know, to strengthen the communication between the delegates from GMS countries and some technology transfer and so on. And we'd like to say we wanted to hold this conference the next year. This conference is just the beginning among the GMS country, you know, cooperation. And we have long road to walk and the way there are a lot of things we need to face better. And we, in my opinion, I think if we get better and have a well know from each other, and we will seek the way to reduce the global poverty. Thank you. Any questions?
You say that the title of the country is about nuclear power, in which I think you're still going on with nuclear power. Would you like to elaborate on that? How do you love nuclear power?
Pardon?
How do you do your nuclear power?
Yeah.
What? So where is that? I think you the country now is a region that still falling on this project.
Okay, you know, I just shared with information to energy sources and the environment. You know, the professional, you know, I don't think of the other question because I just, you know, share the information. I want all the delegates can know China well and we could have more further cooperation. All the
hundred
focus. Thank you.
Any questions for the floor?
Yeah, any questions?
Did I have a copy of the revenue?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Yes, okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Dean. Right now we'll take a break for a moment for a coffee and we'll come back to the four Vietnam and Thailand. So we'll see Vietnam and Thailand after the break. Thank you. นะคะช่วงนี้เราขอพักกันนิดนึงนะคะเดี๋ยวกลับมาพบกับตัวแทนจากประเทศเวียดนามและก็ประเทศไทยนะคะขอบคุณค่ะ So coffee break is served out of the room. 10 minutes. Okay. So we'll see you in here in 10 minutes. Thank you. So we will continue in a few moments. So if any of your colleagues, your friends outside, so please come in. So we won't be too late for this evening. Is here already, so I think we should start right now.
Yes.
So I'll hand out to you then. No,
thank you. So we have the break. We have the two papers presented. Let me call for the two who have presented the paper, please. Wait a minute. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Nam delegation, it is my honor to sit here and share some knowledge and experience about Vietnam energy and environmental situation. But first of all, I would like to introduce that our presentation will be done by two people. I am my colleague, my leader, and my mission is about environmental sector, and of course, presentation of Vietnam will be divided, will be done by two people. I have my colleague. I will present about environmental sector, and he will continue with energy sector, human resources, lesson known, and future cooperation between the various countries. About environmental sector, I will mention about some problems in Vietnam at the moment. For example, land, water, land, soil, and air pollution. As I listened, Myanmar, Cambodia, and as well as Laos, to mention about environmental problem much. So I hope our presentation in the environmental sector will benefit, will help your countries a little, because maybe at the moment your countries don't face with this problem, but in the future, your country will. First is some information about Vietnam. We have 63 provinces at the moment, and population about 86 million. And the GDP growth in 2011 is 5.9% lower than the other years. For example, in 2010, 2009, we grow faster. 2011, the GDP growth lower because economic crisis will affect also affect to Vietnam. And about environmental sectors, we at the moment we have some problem with land pollution. First is land pollution. As we know, total natural land area in Vietnam is about 33 million hectares, and land for cultivation, forestation, and production occupies 75%. But at the moment, cultivated land is replaced by industrial zones, road station, and handling constructions. For example, in Red River data, cultivated land is reduced about 0.43% each year because of above reason, and this leads to a lot of social problems because, for example, farmers lose their land, and after that they have no tomb, have no land for cultivation. And have to go to the big city to find new job, and cause a lot of social problem. And besides, cultivation land is being polluted due to chemical using, for example, fertilizer or pesticide. Wastewater from industrial park and urban dumping. Especially nowadays, 2.63 million hectares of land in the southern areas and some airport is toxic because of dioxin from wood. Vietnam has taken a lot of effort to fight to U.S. to force them have to take responsibility to treat dioxin in Vietnam, but at the moment, up to now, just a little effort of U.S. To have Vietnam treat dioxin in this area. And cultivated land in Vietnam is destroyed by salinization. You may know seawater can enter to mainland about 30 to 40 kilometers in the southern area with 4,000 concentration. In some area, and you see in this picture is cultivation land is replaced by heavy building, and here is some is heavy metal concentration and suburban area in our capital Hanoi. And here the red line is the standard, Vietnam standard, but some areas, for example, here you will see lead, and here thin. And this copper is higher. And the second problem we have facing is water pollution. Water level in some big river tend to reduce in dry season, leading to shortage of irrigated water. It's very, very dangerous for cultivation in Vietnam because at the moment about more than 60% of the people of Vietnam is live by cultivation and some work related to cultivation. And river also polluted by industrial zone, agricultural activities, and domestic wastewater from residents. You may know 60% of industrial zones in Vietnam have water treatment system, wastewater treatment system, and 40% of industrial zones don't have. And this is a problem. They can discharge wastewater directly to river without treatment. And with in agriculture, contains pesticide, chemical, fertilizers, can be entered to the water directly. Normally in Vietnam, about 20 to 30% of pesticide or chemical fertilizer enter into surface water directly. And in Ho Chi Minh City, you know, this just about 1.2 million cubic meter domestic wastewater per day. And nowadays we don't have one wastewater plant. In plant we intend to build 9 plants, but now just one. And about water situation, we have 50% of water flow is depend on upper streams. I mean from outside Vietnam, and it's sometimes dangerous for water security for our living. And here is some pictures. Vietnam also have problem with the industrial zone, wastewater from industrial zone, and some river is exhausted water. Here is Red River, Hanoi capital. Some season we have not enough water for irrigation. And here is a river inside city, inside Hanoi, and polluted by domestic wastewater. And Vietnam also have flooding. Have flooding about in 2008, Hanoi also have historical flooding, not heavy as in Thailand, but we also have faced to flooding. And the third problem is air pollution. In Vietnam, air pollution is caused by transportation, industrial zone, craft finish, or constructions. For example, in urban area, transportation contribute about 60% of air pollution because of vehicle. Vietnam has a lot of motorcycle, and car number is increasing rapidly. And you see here is this figure describes air pollution source in Vietnam in 2008, and the green color is transportation, the yellow color is the other source, and the violet color is from cement industry, and the other green color is the thermal power plant here. The distribution of other source to air pollution. And here is air pollution in some urban areas in period 2005, 2008, and the red line and the green line is the Vietnam standard. And here you see a lot of city and areas except air pollution standard. And Vietnam, as calculated, is one of five countries most affected by climate change. And because of climate change, at the moment Vietnam has facing with both as forms and all as well as fasting. I separate fasting and blood. Fasting means water level, because the rain, the water level increasing as in Thailand is in a cup, and flood. Flooding is flooding very fast from the mountain, and the water flow very strong, and when everywhere flow run through, they damage everything very, very fast. And we also facing land losing because, for example, the desertification or solidification. And of course, ecosystem damage. And to recover this problem, of course, it refers to economy in Vietnam. And this picture describes scenario of the southern area. If the sea level is increased 65%, as you see, the red color is the area under the water. If sea level increase 65% more, about here is about 15%. And here you see the flood situation in Vietnam during 1980 to 2009. In history, just small, but from 2009, we have about 53%. Total plus. And here is some real wind in Vietnam statistics from 2003-2007, you can see tend to increase. And here is some picture of climate change damage. You see, and here is economic losing calculated due to natural disasters and tend to increase. Vietnam have take a lot of effort to control and manage environmental, and at the moment about regulation, Vietnam has about 350 regulations related to environmental protection, including law, decree, circular, or national standards. And the highest official regulation in Vietnam is law of environmental protection, and we have the first law in 1993, and the second revised is promulgated in 2005, and at the moment Vietnam is revising the third and intend to promulgate the third edition in 2014. And in order to have long-term vision to protect environment, Vietnam has used national environmental protection strategies as well as national action plans to carry out more detail. And which big polluted objects, such as garbage, river, transportation, or industry, Vietnam have separate programs to carry out based on national environmental protection strategy. And here is organization structure in the environment sector. At government level, Vietnam has Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment like in Thailand, right? And have responsible, and this organization has responsible to manage environmental issues in all my countries. And other ministry also have environmental department, for example, Ministry of Industry and Trade, my ministry, Ministry of Transportation, Ministry of Construction, or Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development. At local level, Vietnam also have Department of Natural Resources and Environment, belong Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment, and this organization many environmental issues in each province or town or whatever. And here is some disadvantages or some problems of our regulation or our management lead to environmental situation. At the moment, the first is backward because technology in medium and small enterprise, and the second is organic people, including official enterprises and residents in still low. For example, think about sustainable development on wind industries. Sometimes not all our officials understand clearly, and with environmental regulations, not all enterprises and residents understand and take efforts to manage environmental issues. And of course, Vietnam have more than 300 regulations document, but it's not strict enough. The some regulation document we penalty enterprise use for penalty enterprise, but it's not strict enough. Enterprise is willing to cause pollutants and pay money for penalties, and but they don't construct or build treatment system because the cost of building treatment system is higher than they give money for them for penalty. And in the past, Vietnam have some foreign countries which cost a pollutant to waste to water to river. For example, Vietnam company, maybe you know Vietnam very famous brand, and this is one of very important examples of foreign countries go to Vietnam, invest in Vietnam, but cost pollution to Vietnam. And maybe because of local authorities is not really effective in management of their enterprises. And I finished my environmental sector content, and let I turn our speech to my leader, Mr. Chung.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. May I introduce some information? I'm Chung from Vietnam and I'm leader of the Vietnamese delegation. So I work for the in the energy sector for Ministry of Industry and Trade. So what we focus on the presentation is about the environment. So for the energy sector, we talk so much before in the phase 1 and phase 2, and I have some more detailed data. So if you want to know in deep in energy sector, so you can copy the slide. And now I just go through very quick about the energy sector of Vietnam. So we have the strategy for national energy development in Vietnam 2020 and vision to 2050. And the viewpoint for development is the energy development must be closely linked to the national social economic development structure and ensure that has a high-speed sustained coordinate diversification of energy sources and energy saving technology. Gradually set up the energy market diversification of the ownership and business methods, aim to satisfy the best interests of the consumers, accelerate the avoid listing, subsidize and remove exclusive advance to eliminate the implementation of social policy through enterprise. And the synchronized and radiation development of energy system like electricity, petroleum, coal, new and renewable energy, including interest in clean energy development, priority development of new and renewable energy. And we will improve efficiency, energy efficiency business, focus on investment in energy efficiency, reduce losses and development of energy tied to preserving the ecological environment, ensuring the implementation of sustainable energy development. So we divide to all part of the energy like electricity, petroleum, coal, and other energy. So I look at it to detail in energy electricity. So this is the share of generation to 2030. So in the year of 2015, so the total capital is 42,500 megawatt, and PMAX is 30,800 megawatt. And the share of this, you can see the coal-fired thermal power is play the important role. And also in 2020 and 2030, also the coal-fired thermal power will play the main role. And also in the year of 2020, we have nuclear power that expected we will operate one unit in 2020 and six units in 2025 and 10 to 12 units in 2030. And for nuclear power, in the share of the generation in 2020 is only 1.5%, and increase in 2020 is 6.3%, and also increase in 2030 to the 7.9%. So it's about the petroleum, coal, and other like micro, hydro, biomass energy, and wind power, solar energy. So about the wind power and solar energy, Vietnam has huge potential for the wind power and also the high potential for solar energy. And until now, we have some big project for contract the wind power plant in the middle of Vietnam and in the south, and also have some project, a small project about the wind power and solar energy in some island at the East Sea. So we choose this one. And now we are talking, I want to talk about the human resources. So for the human resources, Vietnam has few human resources and in energy and environment sectors. And academic guest practitioner, human resource is always concerned in our development plan. Education system is developing and separating across the country. For the weak of human resources, in Vietnam, lacking of skill human resource in energy and environment sector at provincial level, human resource is not developed comprehensively with development plans. And the master plan for human resource development for energy and environment sector has not been developed. And energy saving and effective use has not been put into national education system and weak cooperation between sectors and in regions. Capacity building for national administration regarding energy planning and energy conservation is the first of human resource requirements. And the second is capacity building on renewable energy development. The third is capacity building in energy conservation of organizations. And the last is regional cooperation in energy and environment sector, like good practice research, demonstration projects, and regional expert core cooperation program. So, for the lesson learned from the phase 1 to phase 2 and phase 3, we learned about the energy conservation and efficiency, the alternative energy, and the balancing between economy, environment, and society for sustainable development. The relationship between human and nature, such as how is sustainable development in the agriculture sector, and how to conserve and remind the technology and culture for the young generation, and try to apply green like an alternative energy in future because safety and sustainable development. What we learn is also waste management to prevent pollution of fresh water source and green labor for production and increasing knowledge of people about the energy efficiency products. And we also learn and understand and about the Thailand and other GMF culture. So for the era of cooperation among GMS country, in the term of energy, environment, and human capital, for the energy sector, so we can and we must be have some establishment of energy network between GMS country to exchange together. So in actual, we have some project to construct the energy network between Vietnam and Laos and Vietnam to Cambodia, and it will finish in the year of 2015. And also, we want to have network with other countries among GMS countries like Thailand, Myanmar, and also and also we have connected network like electricity network to the China. And we have some other cooperation, like a regional cooperation in development in the Europe, biogas, biomass, rural electrification, and regional cooperation in training and education to develop human capital, such as best practice in energy saving. And for energy saving, maybe we learn so much from Thailand. Other is cooperation in researching environmental material for regional environmentally friendly materials in construction, energy, and soil research to improve existing technologies for small and medium scale enterprise to improve both energy efficiency and productivity. For the environment sector, we will we can cooperate in the environmental treatment technology or environmental monitoring system like air pollutant, water pollutant, and exchange experience of some new term, green industry, green economic sustainable production and consumption, clean production. So we are intending to establish the Asian Economic Commission. So we may think about the energy and environment organization among CMS to coordinate energy and environment issues. So that is a great presentation about the energy and lesson learned, also the cooperation between among the CMS country. Thank you very much, and you will welcome to have your questions.
Okay, thank you very much for the Vietnamese very comprehensive presentation. What we can learn from Vietnam is on the environment. You mentioned about that in Vietnam there are still 50 regulations or regulations for the environment, right? And then but the problem was the law enforcement, and that's the issue. But in the energy, I think you have developed to why a concrete plan, especially in the nuclear plant, in which you tend to have 12 units in 2030. I think, and then the lesson learned from the first one, first 13, every CMS countries learn the same thing. Or the conservation, every CMS, as well as the human resource development. Now, may I open the floor for questions and comments, please? Any questions from the Vietnam chair? Yes, please. Thank you, Michael.
Allow me to ask Vietnam, since I see your policy, two questions. One question regarding to the nuclear power. At this moment here, I believe that Japan has more likely to be the person that is building the power plant. Am I correct? Is that China or Japan? That's the first thing. Second one, regarding to the you are the neighboring to the Laos, would you consider to import the power from Laos, because along the border of Vietnam, both north and south, is connected to the Laos. Would it be benefit to do that?
Okay, for the first question about the nuclear power plant, so we concerned about the nuclear power plant so much about the Fukushima disaster. So we must be careful about to contract the nuclear power plant as much as safe if you can. And also, for the first unit of the nuclear power plant, and maybe come from the technology from Russia, and the second one is from Japan. For second question. For the second question, so now we have some project to connect the Strait between Laos and Vietnam. And because of the huge potential in Laos, like for the hydropower, so we import the hydropower electricity from Laos, and the project we will have some project, but the first project is maybe done by the year of 2014. It's very soon, coming soon, and we buy from Laos about 200 to 400 megawatts from hydropower from Laos, and other project is will finish in the period of 2015 to 2020, and it's the good idea for us to import from Laos, and we now do it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The more questions are better.
Well, regarding the nuclear power, I think because the lesson learned from Japan, many countries have to review their plan for using nuclear power, including our country. We are reluctant to establish the plant and nuclear plant for electricity generation. Well, I just want to share some view about environment from the first gentleman who are highly mentioned to Vietnam case. I believe it is the south of Vietnam, especially in Ho Chi Minh City, which is the capital city. It's not capital city, one of the last cities in Vietnam. And what I'm going to say is that it's a common phenomenon for the huge expansion, rapid expansion cities without a city plan in beforehand, especially zoning. You know, so even Bangkok, in my country, we experience that problem. It's not only the land pollution, water pollution, and air pollution. There are more problems about social pollution, noise pollution, whatever pollution will have in the large city without city plan or zoning beforehand. Okay, so you have to solve this problem step by step and very slow.
The second point he mentioned to enforcement of the law. You have enough law, have good law, good regulation, but the problem is enforcement and penalty rate. Okay, he mentioned that penalty rate sometimes is lower than a new investment. To manage to treat those industrial waste. In my country, we review the penalty rate from time to time in such a way that it will not work for them, you know, to keep paying penalty instead of set up a new fund and with a good a victim for treatment. And most effective penalty is to revoke their license. Okay, so you know it works sometimes. The last comment is about the law enforcement for local authorities who have no incentive to take action quickly for legal action. I mean, in fact, we have a lot of incentives
for those local authorities. Salary is one of the incentives. Sometimes you can share them a reward, a penalty. You know, that they get part of those penalties as a reward. You know, or whatever. There are several ways of incentive. You can ask from, you know, Thai colleagues. Yeah, you it works. It, you know, sometimes it works. Most of the time, I may say it works. Those are the incentives for a law enforcement, strictly legal enforcement in such a case like that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much.
It's a special.
Okay,
thank you.
No,
just
share.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for the comments.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Now I come to the last delegate, the case of Thailand. The one that is for Tennessee.
It is a petroleum product, it's about 30%
and coal about the 12% lignite and hydro. This is show you the figure of the primary energy consumption in Thailand 2010. In 2010, that natural gas is the biggest, it's about 2,400. And the second one is petroleum, as I showed you in the figure. This is the Thailand electricity structure. We have a generation, transmission, and distribution. Generation, we have EGAT. It's mainly to supply power to generating power. And we have IPP, independent power producer, is about 42%. And FPP is about 10%. And we import from Laos and Malaysia about 3%. And VCT about 1%. VCT is mean very small power producer. And after that, EGAT. And transmission line, it belongs to EGAT. EGAT control the transmission line and then send the power to PEA and MEA. To authority is in the Ministry of Interior. And as you see in the figure, it's PA is responsible, it's about 66% MEA about 32%. And then we have the regulator to control the power in the market. This is installed generating capacity in 2012 March. EGAT have a power pack is about 15 megawatts or about 48%. And IPP is 12,000 megawatts. FPP and we import about 20%. Total is about 31,000 million, 1,000 megawatts. This is IPP, it means power producer that capacity is more than 90 megawatts. FPP less than 90 megawatts and more than 10 megawatts. VFPP is less than 10 megawatts. This is the share of the power generation by fuel type in March 2012. As you see, the biggest is the natural gas, it's about 65%. I remember last year, it's a last few years ago, it's about 20%. Now it's less. Now it's less than the 20%. The second is the lignite, because we have a lignite at the north of Thailand, and we produce from coal, we from whale oil, and imported from Laos and Malaysia, and renewable energy about 1%. As you see, the power peak in this year is really high. In April 26, it's about 26,000 megawatts. But the maximum installed capacity of Thailand is about 31,000 megawatts. We have the margin is about 30%. We have a margin. So we have to plan to construct the power plant in the near future. This is the CO2 emission from the energy consumption by sector. The power generation emits the CO2 about 41%, it's a lot. And then it's the transport and industry about 25%. From the power generation, the most that emits the CO2 is natural gas, or sorry, it's oil. And the second one is natural gas and coal and lignite, about
30%. Did it show you the CO2 emission per energy consumption? In 2011, it's about almost 2,000 tons CO2. If you see in the graph, it's quite decreased slightly. This is the CO2 emission per capita. It's about in this year it's about in last year it's about 3.3 tons CO2 per person. This is the CO2 emission per GDP. It's about 50 tons per million baht. This is the CO2 emission per kilowatt hour. This figure obtained from the power generation is about 0.56 per kilowatt hour. This show you the CO2 emission in power generation from natural gas, coal, lignite, and oil. As you see in the picture, the natural gas that emits about 58 million tons CO2, and the second one is the coal lignite, about 33 in this year. It is slightly increased. This is CO2 emission in transportation. It's about 57 million tons CO2 in this year. It's fluctuation. So in industry, it increases every day. It increases every year. The most important is the coal lignite. It's about 32 million tons CO2 emission. Coal. The second is natural gas and oil. So Thailand, we have the energy policy. The first one, we enhance the energy security, and the second one, we promote to use the alternative and energy. And the third one, to promote the energy efficiency and saving. And the fourth one is to be fair and stable energy pricing, to be controlled by the regulator. And the last one, to protect the environment. This is the energy policy in Thailand. This is the alternative energy development plan. This is announced in 2008. At that time, we set up the target. It's about 20% in 2022. But now we change the plan, the government plan, to be the 25% from this year to 2021. It's about 25,000 ton oil equivalent. So from this chart, as I show you, we will produce. We expected to produce from solar about 2,000 megawatt, wind 1,200 megawatt, and bio energy is from biogas and biomass. As you know, in Thailand we have a lot of waste from the agricultural, so we expected to produce the power from biomass about 3,600 megawatt in this group. And for the hydro power plant, it's about the 1,600. The figure for you is not clear. About 1,600 megawatt. And for the new energy resources,
It's about geothermal and tidal wave. It's about 3 megawatts. And the last one is biofuel. It's ethanol biodiesel. This is about 44%. This is the new alternative energy plan. Did it show you the figure? It's the same. But show you the total is about 9,200 megawatts. In Thailand, we have the policy to promote the power generation from renewable energy. We call adder. Adder it means the tariff add to the bill tariff. From biomass, for example, biomass if installed capacity more than 1 megawatt, we will give the adder is about 0.3 baht per kilowatt hour. For the wind turbine, if installed capacity more than 50 kilowatt, we will give the adder about 3.5 baht per kilowatt hour. For the solar cell, for the solar cell, now if sustained, because as you know, we made the figure about almost 10 years ago. At that time, the investment cost is very high from the solar, and now the solar cell is very cheap. It's less. It's about the 1 megawatt. It's less than 60 million baht for the solar cell. So that's why we have to stop to give the adder for the solar cell. For the solar, include the solar thermal and solar cell. For the P period, it depends on the time of oil. The solar cell and wind we give 10 years, and the left and the other is 20 years. For the third column is extra adder. It means if you construct the power plant in the south, in the three province in the south of Thailand, we will add you in this column. It's about 1 baht and 1.5 baht per kilowatt hour. For the PDP plan, that announced in 2010. For the 20 years, we plan to produce power from renewable energy about 4,600 megawatt, and coal generation is about 3,136 megawatt. Thermal power plant is about 16,000 megawatt. Hydro is 512 megawatt. And we plan to import the power from Lao, from Myanmar, from Malaysia. It's about 11,000 megawatt. Nuclear, we plan 5,000 megawatt. But now the cabinet that sustain this plan. For the coal is about 84,000 megawatt. Before I move to the financing and the cooperation, Thailand, we have the Tri-Key Energy for Green Low Carbon Growth policy that proposed by National Economic and Social Development Board Plan number 11 during 2011. To 2015. So in this policy, Thailand Clean Energy for Green Low Carbon Growth. In this policy, we
we will mention about the CO2 emission and efficient and clean energy. And the third one is the sustainable water and waste management. And the last one is the renewable energy to promote and scaling up. Because now for the renewable energy in Thailand, we have, but we still lack for the incentive. So in this policy, we will give the incentive, the more incentive for the challenging from EMF country that I joined for the few days ago. I found that in Thailand we produce the power, most of them is from natural gas. So this is a challenging for energy that we have to decrease the natural gas to produce the power. With e-gas and e-gas and IBP, we plan to import the power from Laos, from the hydropower. And the second one, for the energy saving and efficiency. In this case, we found that when we compare to the GDP in Thailand, we use a lot of energy per capita. So in this challenge, we have to promote energy saving and efficiency for the equipment, for example, like a lamp LED. And the third one is renewable energy that I told you we have a plan, alternative plan for 20 years. And the last one is the technology. The technology, as I told you, for example, solar cell, we have to import all of them from outside of Thailand. The most important is from China. It's really cheap from China. But this should be concentrated on the technology that should produce in Thailand. But in some technology, for example, for the biogas and biomass, we can do in Thailand. For the biogas, for example, for the anaerobic digestion, in Thailand we have a lot of palm factory on the south of Thailand that we can develop technology by myself. For the challenging for the environment, as you know, the global warming is a challenge for our GMS country. We have to conserve and promote to the, for example, this the photo show you that PA, I'm from PA. We have a whole project to promote the global warming, to train the young for the young, for the children, to aware about the energy use, energy saving, and for the global warming CO2 emission. And the last one, we should bring the CSR. Since right now we have the ISO 26,000. We call ISO 26,000. It just launched last year. So we should bring the ISO to be to be a one pass for the for
for project. For example, in many projects in Thailand, when we build, for example, for the power plant or the, for the transmission line, we have to do the public hearing, and we have to tell the community what is the impact to you and what do you want from the project, and how can we support the community. That is a for example. For the cooperation in the GF country, I think it should be a sharing of the information and knowledge. And in the next future, we will be the power grid in the ASEAN or the GF grid. That means the transmission line or the power will be connected to be the one system. And the last one is the technology transfer. For the conclusion, the information knowledge sharing, we can develop the business for the energy business. That like a social responsibility together. And the third one is the technology transfer. And the last one is how culture, we exchange the culture for the different country. So that is all my presentation. Thank you.
Well, we have to do the last country already, so let me have some comments or questions from the floor, please. As you may know, that Thailand relies mostly on the national gas and visitor reserve for 30 years of them, 50 years, right? So the reserve of the national gas will last long only for 10 years. So I think the E-CAT now plan to get more plants. But the difficulty of the other people is this. Any questions from the floor? If not, so just yes. Oh, one second.
I have two matters to want to discuss with you. The first one is about changing the like the to the other power plant. You will lack of gas, right? So I saw that you change to the coal power plant, right? So in Thai have like a huge potential for the coal power plant, or you import the coal to your to your country and for the coal power plant. The second one is I concern about the solar cell. As I know, when I was in AIT, so I was visit the EGAT building, the headquarter of EGAT. So it's very like the green department, because they have the huge solar cell in the front of the headquarter, and he get want to promote the technology for the solar cell to promote it in the Thailand. So I want to know that the Thailand want to produce the technology by yourself, or you just import the solar cell from China because of the cheap price? Thank you.
Thank you. For the first question, we can plan to build the lignite about the 2 or 3 amateur, the unit, two or three units at the north of Thailand. Because we have a lignite at the north of Thailand. And for the other lecture, we have to import. Maybe Mr. Gittin for the first one. Good job.
Okay, I'm Gittin, the panel to our last. The response to your question is we plan to build the coal-fired power plant. That's our mayor calling Peter. Oh, it's not 84, but it's actually 4,000. We got another eight.
Oh,
okay. So what we plan is to, one is to enhance the power plant in the north, in the Bangkok River, Bangkok Basin, going to be the clean coal technology, use the technology IPCC, indicate that fast combined cycle. And the other is that for import anthracite grade from maybe Australia and Indonesia. But with the concept of clean coal technology, maybe not CCS, carbon capture storage, but believe me, it's we increase our tariff very soon if we go for that, but no choice. Okay. For the solar cell, we do have research institute, solar cell research institute, that under the DEE at Narayeswaran University, and we do have pilot scale at National Science Technology Institute to develop or do the research, actually put it pilot scale and not at last to the commercial scale. But unfortunately, the production cost for itself is still higher than what I import. So, as a concern with the solar cell right now, we found that solar panel from China is still cheaper than the other, but quality for long is the price. Okay. One is the solar cell, the panel from Taiwan, a little bit better in quality, but a little bit higher in price. In our local producer, we do have quite some, but unfortunately, one of the companies, they closed their factory already due to having the high production cost. But in the future, I think the solar power is our promising future. Our potential is up to 20,000 megawatts rely on solar intensity throughout Thailand. Okay. But just our in very conservative plan, we just schedule for just only 2,000. If you can see that. But just the last bidding offer when we announced invite our sector to submit under the SDP and the BSDP. We already exceed the target, more than 2,000 megawatts already. But in reality, we don't know whether we will go for that in reality, because of the fluctuation of the investment right now. So far, the investment cost is low enough. And they still need to request the government to provide an adder, like an aid bar. Because without the aid bar, they get an ROI or return on investment definitely less than 10 years. So we talking about 6.5 baht or 5.5 baht per kilowatt hour of subsidy.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Statistic. I would like to thank all of your representatives from each country to present the thoughts on the energy environment. I think next program will be
good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the live session of this afternoon. I'm going to wrap up about the country report of our big countries regarding energy and environment sector in the DMF country. First of all, from the country report, we learn about the status of the energy and environment in every single country in this in GMF. We know the facts and we have a lot of data, figures about energy and environment. We know the policies of each country about energy and environment as well, and know about the organized the sector, the energy and environmental sector, and also the important thing that we know is the problem. What I think that this is a very important thing that we learn today, because in the near future, for this session, we will look at the GMS as a whole country. We don't look separately, that is Laos, but we all are GMS countries. And the problem that we going to face in the future is not the problem of every single country, but that is the problem of the problem of every country in this region. We know the core facts from six reports. The thing that we cannot deny that the energy consumption, in particular electricity, is growing. The demand of electricity is growing year by year. No, not year by year, month by month. But we know that some countries have the capacity to export electricity, and some countries are going to export electricity in the near future. As from the report, maybe a couple of years or something, in the year 2020. Maybe. And the thing that we know that among us, the problem is unequal of potential in energy and environment. In particular, both in human capital, resources, and importantly, technology. And we have core problems that every country faces. We lack of knowledge, we lack of experience. Inadequate of data, equipment, supplies, technology, manpower in the field of energy and environment. That is the problem with us. Lack of funding, we need sponsors, lack of cooperation, in particular between the stakeholders. In some countries, we need lack of law, regulation, and some countries we have law and regulation, but we don't have efficient law and regulation to deal with the problem of energy and environment. And also, we lack of awareness of the consumer. Not only the us, but as the delegate from Thailand as well, he told us, the thing that we have to let them to awareness about energy and environment, not us, but this is the new generation, the children, the future generation. This is that going to be the good, a huge asset, valuable asset of each country. But we have poor future. Every country wants to reduce poverty. We want to improve living standards. We want to develop social and economic level. We need, or no, we want good quality of energy with a low cost. And we need clean environment. Then the future cooperation among us is going to be like the transferring of technology is the keyword for the cooperation. Maybe power trade cooperation among us, it will be good. It's a good proposal. Training of manpower in the field of energy and environment is a keyword as well. And more important than that, academic cooperation in the GMF country. Like I wrote in this PowerPoint, maybe it's going to be like a GMF Research and Development Institute that's doing the academic research, not for each country, but for us. And we can join each other and sharing and doing it together. And to look for conclusion, the thing that challenge the GMF, the first is about environmental impact. Every single report about the global warming, climate change, and pollution. And you know, the abolition of environment recognized as a crime of ecocide, crimes against environment, and or is it recognized as crimes against future generations? And we talk about nuclear energy, in particular like the big water in this field, maybe China, that you have technology and knowledge and also experience in nuclear energy. How to share knowledge and experience regarding nuclear energy among us, and how to make an awareness for everybody regarding nuclear energy to guarantee that the disaster like in Japan will never happen again here, will never happen again in particular in this sub-region. And when we talk about energy and environment, there are my left hand is energy, my right hand is environment. When we talk this to particular field, in my idea, we have to hold hand in hand and walk together. If you put weight on energy, you will never forget to put the same or reasonable weight on environment. And how to preserve this world? The duty to preserve this world is belonging to whom? You, me, superhero, as my friend tells, maybe super safe, the UN international organization, or maybe the invisible hand. But the answer is not invisible hand, but it is visible hand. It is your hand. Your true hand can preserve this world. That's why we have to invest in human capital to let them to develop themselves, to develop them, to teach them, train them, and let them to preserve this world. But when we focus on GMS sub-region, who going to preserve this sub-region? Myanmar, Thailand, China, Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam, who not belong to every single country, but we have to hold hand in hand to preserve this sub-region. So then, all six countries have to cooperate to preserve this sub-region. And how to preserve that? The same reason as preserve the world, that you have to invest in human. That is the reason why you all are here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's very personal information of what is very good wrap up. So, and now it has come to the end. So, again, somebody would like to wrap up anything else that's at the end?
No, I think we have to wait and wait for the
dinner.
Lunch.
Absolutely. So thank you very much, I guess, and as well for the chat today. And before we leave this room, I would like to ask if we already have one more group photo, the last one, before I let you go have a rest and have a beautiful dinner tonight at 6 o'clock. So, Carter, is there anything that from the meeting with me, Kat? Did I have a group photo together, all together? Oh, really? Carter, is there anything? All of you are in the gate and all the guests as well, so we'll have a good photo together before we're taking a rest. And we'll see each other at 6 o'clock for dinner talk tonight. Anna Begay, come on stage, please. Anna Begay, please. I know you're very tired, but it's a few minutes that I need from you, really. Thank you. So sweet of you. And I'll have your time for relaxing for hour and a half and see you again at room 83 on 7th floor for our beautiful dinner and also the dinner talk from Dr. Royal Dawn. It's a very interesting topic today about water management in Thailand based on the Royal Initiative. So don't miss it tonight. ขอแคมเปญเกียรติด้านล่างนะคะขอแคมเปญเกียรติด้านล่างเลยนะคะ